Twitter back then. They didn't have Facebook back then. So there's no telegram. So I surmised that he was saying what he wanted to do. You can know sometimes people do things, do good things, but because they want to. They have hidden motives or whatever, you know. But the point I'm trying to get to here is that when he decided to come back home, he done been in the pig pen. Said, I may act like a pig, but I ain't no pig. I may think like a pig, but I ain't no pig. My daddy got food for servants. I believe I'm going home. I'm going to say to God that I have sinned against thee. Done this wrong. Daddy must have been looking for him. Because the daddy ran to him. Amen. Brought him on. He's confessing it, and the daddy said, bring that boy a robe. Put some clothes on that boy. Bring him a ring. He's back in the family now. Bring him some shoes because he's barefooted. He's no slave. He's no servant. He's my son. He left my son, and he's coming back. My son, amen. I will give him a second chance. Yeah. That's what God does to us. Yes, keep giving us a second chance.
Yes, he does.
Every time we, over and over, every time we call upon him to forgive us of all our sins.
Yes.
Now this word repent means that I don't do this no more.
Right.
When you repent of something, you don't do that no more. When David repented of his adultery, he didn't do that no more. When he repented of killing Uzziah, he didn't do that no more. Read the script. He didn't do that no more. That's true repentance, that I don't do that no more. I turn away from that act of sin. No more. That's true repentance. And turn to God for guidance. It's personal. Because he gives it to you by name. It's possible because of God's amazing grace. And finally, it's profitable. Because as I said to you earlier, Peter went home the day of Pentecost. And all of those that was in the upper room, 120 of them, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Our teacher today, our own pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Let us receive him at this time.
Amen. Bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to study your word. Bless your people for the sacrifice they've made at this noon hour to meet with you, to hear from you, to be blessed of you. Lord God, disappoint not our expectations, for we know you are faithful, and we thank you in Jesus' name for what you shall do. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Would you, as you're seated, give the Lord a hand of praise? Hallelujah. As we are ministering on the Holy Spirit, and as we have endeavored to share with you and show you the many different areas of our lives that the Holy Ghost plays such an important role in, and the ministry that God has given us is so necessary for the Holy Ghost to be a part of, it's important to understand both the personal benefit of the Holy Ghost being a part of your life and a part of the ministry that the Holy Ghost is effectively a part of. You can never ever reach your full potential without the presence, the person, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake about it. And so people who are just religious people miss it all day long when they think that it's just about denominationalism. It's about the Word, the will, and the way of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who takes that Word and makes that Word come alive in us. Make the Word that God has spoken become a reality in our lives. The Bible, listen, is filled with the words of God, but it's simply the letter of the Word. The letter of the Word. You need the Spirit of the Word to make that Word come alive. Just as when man was formed out of the dust in the earth, he was formed. Everything in him was in him except life. And it wasn't until the Spirit of God entered him that he became a living soul. And so without the Holy Ghost, you're not what God wants you to be, nor can you do what God wants you to do. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read from the first verse to the 11th verse, and I want to share some things with you. We're going to walk through this and share some pertinent points. Rita, if you'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. I want to start at verse 11 and help you to understand a very important principle. Whatever is supernatural in its origin must be supernatural in its operation. Hear that? If it's supernatural in its origin, it must be supernatural in its operation. And here, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, they originate from God, and they must be operated in the Spirit of God. no person can do any of these things unless the Spirit fills him and empowers him to do those things. There are impersonators, false prophets, people who pretend, and here is the difference. Because those that they fool are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they cannot discern that. That's how so many people are led astray through feelings, emotions, through sensationalism. But there is no root, therefore there is no word that creates root for them to know the operation of God. If a thing is supernatural in its origin, it must be supernatural in its operation, which means if God said it, if God instituted it, then God is going to say how it ought to be operated. And if we know this, then that means we don't have to judge. All we have to do is inspect. Does this line up with the Word of God? Is this the way God said it ought to be done? The Bible says that God is not the author of what? Confusion. And Paul goes on in the 14th chapter to say, let all things be done decently and in order. Part of that has to do with our operations in the gifts. And so we go back to verse 1 now. And Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth. And there is a lot going on at the church of Corinth at this time, the church at its birth. And people have learned how to speak in the Spirit, and they're doing it in excess. And over in the 14th chapter, you'll get a little more insight on that. But here, Paul is dealing with them based on two things, based upon their present operation and based upon their prior experiences. When they were following pagan gods, when they were acting like worldly people, they followed trends and fads and did whatever they were told without any real understanding. They operated in things that were ungodly and did not benefit them, but to be a part of things, they went along to get along. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Because one of the things that you need to know is that it is important for the spiritual gifts to be in operation in the church and in the believer's life. And where you are, if you're in a place where the gifts of God cannot flow, then the people cease to benefit the way God wants them to benefit. We've got to be careful that tradition and denominationalism does not snuff out, if you will, the flow of the Holy Ghost to operate in the gifts. The gifts are never for the person they're given. They're always for others. When a person, if you've been given a gift, know my brother, know my sister, that that gift has not been given to you for you. It's been entrusted to you to enact for others. And when you understand that, you don't treat yourself like you're a celebrity. You treat yourself like you are an emergency servant to do the administration of that gift wherever the Spirit of God prompts you to do it at. You know, when doctors and nurses and all of them get their credentials, they take a Hippocratic oath, which really means, listen, if folk ain't got no money to pay you and you see them in a situation, you've been trained to do it, you got to do it whether you like it or not. If you see your enemy have a situation there and you happen to see that thing, you've taken an oath that you're going to use your abilities, your talents, your learn skills to help and aid that person as best you can. And so that is the same way in the church. And we've got to allow the Spirit of God to be able to operate without all of the things that hinder the flow of the Holy Ghost. And you see, you can always tell when we are not used to the flow of the Holy Ghost in a situation, because we look crazy when folks start flowing in a gift. Like, what is this? What's going on with all of this? And it's unusual and it's strange to us because we're not used of seeing gifts operate according to the Spirit of God. Now, one of the things that I want you to see as we move on to verse 4 is how he prepares verse 4, 5, and 6 for us to understand these gifts. Rita, read.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Wait. There are diversities, various. Let's use the word various just to be simple and plain. There are various gifts, but the what?
Same Spirit.
The same Spirit. Now keep this in mind. If there are varieties of gifts, and if it is the same Spirit, then there will never be a conflict with the gifts in operation. Because the same Spirit who gave the gifts to the persons who have received the gifts also gives the anointing, the timing, the unction to operate in those gifts at the proper time. There will not be confusion in the operation of gifts because the Holy Ghost is going to make sure that everything is done decently and in order. All right, move on to the next verse, verse 5.
Verse 5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord.
All right, now there are various services. Now that's all administration means, various services. All right, you've got various gifts, you've got various services. Go on to verse 6.
Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all.
All right, now you have various actions. So you have a variety of gifts, a variety of services, and a variety of actions. All right, but read verse 6 again.
And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
All right, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. Now again, I'm trying to help you to understand the flow of these gifts. Now move on to verse 7 and tell you what it says.
Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
The manifestation, in other words, none of those gifts come to life. None of those gifts are operative without the Holy Spirit. He may have given them to you, but they don't work without him. He is the power source behind every gift, and it is so that you can profit with all. Profit with all. That means in every gift operation, there ought to be some profit, some benefit. There ought to be some difference made when the manifested power of the Holy Ghost is operating in a gift. If it's a gift, it's a blessing and a benefit to you. And that only happens if the Holy Ghost is operating that gift, because he knows what you have need of. How many times has he sent somebody at the right time in your life to speak a word, to minister to you, to give you something you were in need of that you didn't ask any human about? But God saw that need, and he in that same time sent somebody to minister in one of that gifts that profited you. Listen, he profits both the user and the receiver, because I'm blessed when I know I bless you. And you're blessed when you know I blessed you. So it's a blessing to be able to do it, and it's a blessing to be able to receive it. So we all profit a prophet in the whole process. All right, now move on to verse 8.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Now listen to this, because just in case you didn't know and you've got your Bible, we can do an open book test right quick. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? Okay, keep counting. I'll wait. It's right there before you. Say it out loud. All right. Somebody page is torn out their Bible. They're missing a few. Okay, it's nine gifts. Nine gifts. All right. Now, all right. Notice here, what is the first gift? Say it. Do y'all not have your Bibles open? The first gift is what? The word of wisdom. Now, God has given us a personal theme and focus this year, and it is on wisdom. Now, Proverbs says, 4:7, that wisdom is what? The principal thing. Therefore, do what? Therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, what? Get understanding. So, listen again. When Jesus, according to the Old Testament, was blessed, the first thing the Holy Spirit blessed him with was wisdom. Now, one of the evidences of the Spirit of God in the gifts is that he's going to give you wisdom. Now, this is all godly, spiritual realities. This is not worldly wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom. This is the wisdom of God that operates both in the secular and the sacred. The wisdom of God is the very reality because he knows all things. That's not just spiritual things, that's worldly things as well. But this is far beyond the wisdom of men. So I don't want you to think that this wisdom that he's talking about here is worldly wisdom. This is supernatural divine wisdom that comes only from God. That's a gift. There are some things that God reveals to you that you could not find out on your own. There are things he can share with you and reveal to you and give you insight to you won't find in anybody's books. That is that divine wisdom prompted of the Holy Spirit that you will get only when the Holy Spirit is operating in this vein of wisdom. Now he says he'll give this to one, which means everybody don't have this that divine wisdom. To another, verse 8 says he'll do what? Give a word of knowledge. All right. Again, this is not knowledge simply found in textbooks. This, again, is supernatural knowledge. This is God revealing things about situations, circumstances, peoples, prophecies, etc. This comes from a divine origin, and it must be divine in operation, which means only God can give you certain knowledges, and folk wonder how you know what you know. There are times when I'm ministering the word of God and God gives me a word of knowledge and I'm sharing out in the word of God in the midst of a public place, don't have no idea of the personal issues you may be going through, but God will speak in a way that you will know it's nobody but God, because he shows up at your door with mail with your name on it and you start squirming like, oh, I ain't know nobody knew this. Well, maybe nobody didn't, but God did. And God shows it to you by giving it to me to let you know he knows what you're dealing with, going through. He knows your secret sins. He knows everything about you. And that didn't come from no gossipers. That didn't come from no tattletales. That didn't come from no busybody. That came from the Holy Ghost revealing what is going on. And thank God he don't let me call your name. Yeah. Now, let's move on to the next verse.
Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit.
All right. Now, this is not average faith. This is not the faith of a mustard seed. This is not the faith as a measure. This is supernatural divine faith. It is the faith of God. The faith to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in the word of God, to believe that God will do what he said he'll do far beyond your ability to grasp. You see, faith is not seeing it before it happens. Faith happens before you see it. And there are some people he gives a supernatural gift of faith to believe for stuff, something that other folk can't even begin to fathom believing for. It doesn't make no sense. And yet God does it for them because they have the gift of faith. The gift of faith. That comes from the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. And he gives them that ability to tap into the faith of God. So that means God puts a faith in you that's of him, which connects his power to your thinking and to your understanding and to your belief system. And while you may not have gotten that through books and understanding, you are a direct connection to the faith of God, which uses you in the earth realm to get his will from glory into earth. When Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," he needed some faith with some godly people who had the God kind of faith to bring the will of God in heaven down to earth. And that takes supernatural faith. There are people God has given the ability to be gifted in miracles. Supernatural power to do. It's interesting that the word miracles here is the same word that we get power from, which is dunamis. It's the same explosive power that's life-changing that causes a change when it is utilized. That kind of miracle-working power comes from God. It is not simply believing. In other words, when God gives someone the gift of miracles, miracles happen because he has anointed that person to operate in the gifts of miracles. That ain't got nothing to do. See, when that happens, that really doesn't have anything to do with the person's faith. That has to do with God's faith. See, there were some people God healed didn't have anything to do with their faith. He just spoke them. He just touched them. He just made it happen because he's a miracle worker. Anybody know the miracle worker? He has made stuff happen for you you didn't believe was going to happen. Thank God he didn't use your faith because it would never have come to pass. But he wanted it, or he spoke it, or he promised it. And because he did, he made it happen. That's the kind of miraculous faith that God is talking about and dealing with in this gift of faith. When somebody has the gift of faith and the gift of miracles, God is able to use them as he desires without the participation of the person he's working the miracle on. Did you understand that? That means God will send you to places and he will do miracles, not because somebody asked him to do it, but because he felt like blessing them today. Wow, that happened. God just did this. And those are the kind of miracles that just bless your socks off. You know, you God knows what you need. He knows how long you've been suffering. He knows all of those things. And you just wake up one morning and God sends a miracle your way. Read on, Rita.
Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits.
Okay, hold on, right. Now, let me throw this out at you. It's definitely important. We're getting to the end of it, where we're going to get to the issue that most of us in the modern world of Christendom have an issue with. Now, begin again at 10.
Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles.
Next.
To another, prophecy.
Okay. Now, prophecy, again, supernaturally, this is not normal prophecy. When I say normal prophecy, I mean, again,